It's the Henry Raine Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. till approximately 1 o'clock or so, whenever we finally run out of wind and bloviate with. We've got Augie in the studio. We have Gabe Higgins on the line and Lee Hansen on the line. Gabe, the founder of the Tampa Bay Bitcoin Meetup, and Lee, the CEO of Byte Federal, the company that is placing Bitcoin ATMs all around the state of Florida, and we'll find out more about that in just a second. Once I get through the shameless self-promotion, please follow us on Facebook. You can find the old shows posted there. That will be the first place you see shows posted. You can also find them on several podcast sites. Podomatic.com is the primary flagship podcast site for us, which is HenryRaineShow.podomatic.com. We are on SoundCloud.com, and we're also on Stitcher.com, which is very useful if you're trying to listen to the show on your car radio. Follow us on Twitter at Henry Raine Show, and send your email comments to HenryRaineShow@gmail.com. And before I speak about what Jamie Dimon's company was doing, I also want to remind people that they can find out more about the Bitcoin ATMs that are near them. They can look for locations, find out more about them at the website bytefederal.com, B-Y-T-E, federal.com. You can also get more information at 941-586-2954, 941-586-2954. All right, so what was J.P. Morgan Chase doing while Jamie Dimon, the CEO, was out talking up his theories about Bitcoin? Well, it would not be surprising to find out they were investing in Bitcoin. Dimon recently rejected the Bitcoin as fraud. Of course, we heard the audio in the first half of the show, causing additional sell-offs after the news of the Chinese exchange ban was released. The financial guru commented that Bitcoin was in a bubble, not unlike the famous tulip bubble. Again, the comments were a little bit more nuanced than that, and you can listen to the first half of the show if you missed that. Anyway, a Twitter user called I Am Nomad published a screenshot of the Bitcoin chart with J.P. Morgan Chase purchase circled. In a surprising move, J.P. Morgan purchased a large block of Bitcoins just after the CEO's harsh criticisms, according to a careful observer of Twitter. There has been some commentary by industry insiders that banks have a vested interest in seeing Bitcoin fail, even while they're seeking to join the upswing in potential profits. Chase Bank is no different, apparently, based on the information that has recently come to light. Growing mainstream financial acceptance of the cryptocurrency included widespread increase in hedge funds and institutional investors, which would indicate that the predictions of these bears may not be sound. And, of course, we'd also remind you of the previous show, about 4 weeks ago, where we pointed out that a previous CEO, Morgan Stanley, had created a venture capital fund for blockchain startups. So here we have the information that J.P. Morgan Chase was purchasing Bitcoins as their CEO was talking the price down. Now, I believe if this were being talked about as a company, a publicly traded company, that this would probably be in violation of the law, Augie.
Yeah, I think it would be. You've got regulation with a public traded company. I was just reading about that. You don't suppress invention by regulating the selling of the products that support it. You don't want fraudsters getting in. You don't want drugsters getting in. You don't want those people with the money interest to pull the rug out on that investment that might be very, very positive and kill off the real good direction of the invention.
And we can also point out that Jamie Dimon also said in 2015, when Bitcoin was around $500, that it was going away very soon. Let's go back to Gabe and Lee. Lee, had you seen this information about J.P. Morgan Chase purchasing Bitcoin while their CEO was talking the price down?
Yeah, no, I didn't read that article.
Okay. So, Gabe, had you seen that?
Yeah, and at first I thought it was a joke. It was just something somebody posted on Reddit that as a for something to be funny that the price drops and because of Jamie's comments, and then, you know, they bought up a bunch of Bitcoin. But no, I think that's very interesting, to say the least, that right on the heels of that, of his comments, that they're seen buying up a bunch of Bitcoin at when it drops.
Well, they're pulling in a lot of money.
You can't make this stuff up, right?
No, so no. They're pulling in a lot of money from people like Paris Hilton, and you've got the manipulation going on in that market as a market, because these people are not producers of anything positive, the Jamie Dimons of the world. They basically, I think, are just making money on money and don't give a damn about the country. And the concern I have in this whole area is the lack of concern of the benefit to the people generally. The quick money fixes to things, that doesn't work long term. My question earlier was, it's probably a naive question, but you've got all different coins coming out. Is there any way, control to the numbers? Is there any way to understand what that is?
Let me take a moment also, while you brought that up, to mention Alex Solis is not in the studio today, who could probably give us the best answer on the number of currencies and the nature of the different currencies. He's on hiatus from the show, and we hope to have Alex back in the next few weeks. Having said that, shout out to all the Alex Solis fans. Okay, go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I don't know how you calculate how many numbers of cryptocurrencies there are. I don't understand.
Well, let's say there's 100 cryptocurrencies. What do they represent?
Well, you'd be vastly underestimating. If you go to CoinMarketCap, I think they list about 1,100 different currencies, and there's many more than that. And you can have a currency, but if you don't have an exchange that trades it, then
it's useless.
It's like, if did a tree fall in the forest? Did it make a sound?
Right.
ICOs that are coming out on the hope that they'll get onto an exchange and actually be actively
traded.
Yeah,
but with all that said, my question really comes down to, and I think it pushes the point of things out of control or in control, the interests of one particular currency are maybe not the interests of another. So somebody's going to put their arms around this thing and say there's X number of cryptocurrencies, and these particular currencies are going to be controlled this way or that way. Where does this, if you were to say the coins are in the billions per currency, what are they in the multiple of 1,000 currencies? The trillions?
Yeah, that's a good question. What's the total cryptocurrency market valuation?
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, again, you can go to CoinMarketCap that does an aggregation of the ones that they follow.
I mean, this is a pure invitation for government control. And China's looking at it from that standpoint. They're a controlling country, and they're not going to let this continue to get out of control. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
They can't control it. It's uncontrollable.
Okay. Right now, according to CoinMarketCap, the total market cap is $121 billion plus.
Okay.
It has been as high as $175 billion plus just this month.
Okay.
Back in July, it was $75 billion. So the change in the numbers is just like a rocket ship or a roller coaster, depending on which angle you're going. So we do have quite a bit of information about the different regulations that are coming, but I'll let Gabe and Lee finish addressing your point.
Lee or Gabe was saying you can't control it. That's what someone said there. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
Right.
Your point is, why can't you control it? Why can't it be controlled?
Because it's a decentralized cryptocurrency.
Well,
so you can control exchanges that trade with it.
Yeah. So yeah.
You can control the on ramps and off ramps, right?
I'm sure Lee
has to deal with that, the regulations behind that.
But if
you can't control the currency proper.
What's that mean?
I
mean, if you want to trade in dollars and your value is according to a dollar value, that's a trade, right?
That would be on the exchange, or when you make a transaction with a vendor for some commodity or product.
Right.
But we're going to if we do follow this path, we're going to recover stuff that's on the previous shows that people can go back and listen to give the audience some things that they may not be aware of yet. Following the trend of the news, there are, let me bring this, and we'll probably answer some of the questions that Augie has raised and maybe some of the issues Gabe and Lee have addressed. So it turns out that there actually has been a leak now of the documents that the Chinese exchanges are going to have to meet to follow the commandments, the regulations, the directives of the Chinese governing authority. According to the leaked documents and statements from the local exchange executive issued on a condition of anonymity, Chinese regulators have now issued verbal directives indicating how they expect businesses to wind down operations due to the fact that they are operating domestically without a formal license. Now, that would imply that there is going to be a licensing mechanism coming up, and would not be surprising, as that's how banks are licensed or chartered, et cetera. It's going to be issued by the Office of the, this is a actual proper name, Leading Group of Beijing Internet Financial Risk Remediation. That just rolls off the tongue. Anyway, some of the things that they have indicated that what they must do, these Chinese exchanges, before the 20th of September, 6 p.m., exchanges shall come up with a detailed risk-free clearing plan and send the plan to the office. Exchanges shall deal with their claims and liabilities properly, ensuring the investors' funds and virtual currencies are safe. Again, this is the unwinding part. Again, before September 20th, the exchanges shall determine a bank account which will be used for depositing the user funds. All other accounts in banks and non-bank service providers shall be canceled and reported to another bureaucratic name in China, the Business Management Department of the People's Bank of China. So, bringing it under the purview of the Bank of China. Before September 15th midnight, which has already happened, the exchanges shall publish closing announcements, which we saw and caused a lot of disruption in the marketplace yesterday, and announce a schedule to stop the trading of all virtual currencies. New user registration will be stopped immediately. Shareholders, controllers, executives, and core financial technical staff of exchanges shall cooperate fully with authorities while clearing. Well, that almost doesn't need to be said. Or else. Exchanges shall report their developments daily to local authorities. Exchanges shall have all user trading and holding data and send it to local authorities immediately in DVDs. And it's signed by the Leading Group of Beijing International Financial Risk Remediation, September 15th. So, first of all, it sounds to me like this is just not going to be a ban on the cryptocurrencies. It seems like it's bringing it under some kind of order where the central government has a role to play, which may not be what Lee and Gabe would like to see, but it also, I think, bodes better for the marketplace than what some people have thought in the panic selling of this week. Lee?
It's just sleight of hand. It's claiming regulation to protect people, and in actuality, it's a method for the oligarchy to try to rattle their saber and control and optimize their profits in the space while everybody else suffers under the tyranny and bureaucracy of regulation that slows down our ability to advance, the human species through the innovations.
Well, that's fine to talk about as how you wish things to be. What I'm talking about, though, is it sounds to me like it won't be too far in the future that Chinese individuals and companies will be exchanging Bitcoin again. Gabe, what do you think?
Yes. I think you're right in that regard. But, it's just going to be in a much slower, more restricted bureaucratic fashion. So what's the impact going to be?
What do you think the impact will be, Gabe? What's the impact? Can you project the impact?
Are you speaking to me or
Gabe? Well, you just said you, isn't it? You
either
said,
one of you. Just step right on over. Whoever wants to talk, just go ahead.
Jump right in.
I just think, if you look at it in the free form of how things innovate, and then you take a step and say, okay, what's the population's impact on cryptocurrency in China? What's the innovative restriction? It's correlated to the user base, right? But there's no way for us to, you know, make an estimation as to the legislative impact, you know, in mathematical terms as to, you know,
no, I wouldn't say, when I said impact,
reduction in innovation, is it a 5? I have no idea.
Well, my question was, since you mentioned impact, the impact is on someone's bank account, whether it's in China or the United States, doesn't matter. The impact on that, because in the last big recession, depression, people lost thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Okay. I think it's a missed opportunity, and I speak from experience in this regard. Our ability to retain liquidity, part of the Florida legislation says that we don't have to be a money transmitter if we sell out of our own inventory. So our entire network is populated with a hot wallet that we own, so we own the Bitcoin in that, and that's we transmit our Bitcoin to the customer when they purchase. The problem, the missed opportunity, is the regulations in the coming out of FinCEN and coming out of the exchanges themselves and the banks reduces our liquidity to the point where we can't actually embrace these huge opportunities like in these market shifts like what happened in the last week. Instead, we're locked up because we have to go through these multiple layers of, you know, fiat and bureaucracy in order to jump into these markets and participate. That loss of opportunity is a loss of revenue. That loss of revenue is a loss of ability to expand the company, to hire new people, to, you know, to innovate.
Okay, let me jump in on this. That was the voice of Lee Hansen. He's the CEO of Byte Federal. That he's speaking about the Bitcoin ATMs and other cryptocurrency ATMs that he has placed all around the state of Florida, and I'm sure he wants to go far beyond Florida. But not that you would do this. You're looking at this from a straightforward business perspective. But what you're describing sounds to me like someone would be motivated in a similar position to you to pull a Jamie Dimon, to try and use their leverage with their customers to force a market move, meanwhile having access to other assets that those individuals don't have that you could prosper from. That just like Jamie Dimon is talking down the price while his company is buying at the lower price, if you could... I don't want to speculate beyond
exploit.
That.
It's called exploit.
But there is a reason they do that. Lee?
Yeah, definitively. But, you know, to say that type of insider behavior isn't, you know, the standard modus operandi of the large multinationals would be silly and short-sighted.
And, of course, it is, yeah.
All we can do is try and mitigate it.
And so you have to have.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, you don't want to mitigate
it. Mitigated on the multinationals, and it never will be. It's just a double standard. Basically, they're saying that, you know, the small guy isn't allowed to do it, but the big guy is. It's ridiculous.
So now we have a chaotic situation: one fighting over one exploitation, or someone else fighting over it, and because they have more power.
Some people listening, and maybe even some people on the panel, may not find this next thing I'm going to say very relevant, but I do, so I'm going to say it.
Sure.
You know how the gangs, the mobs in the big cities used to run the protection rackets on the little more poor mom-and-pop enterprises, and people were like, somebody just needs to stand up to those gangs. The reason the gangs and the mobs were able to succeed in getting that protection money from these little mom-and-pop businesses, it's a lot of the little mom-and-pop businesses were running their own action on the side. They were running the numbers out of their back room. They were doing the loan sharking to their customers, and the mobs knew about it, and the mom-and-pops would not go to the authorities because they had something to lose themselves. So I'm not referring to anybody on the panel, but I'm not talking about Lee. He's regulated. But what I'm saying is human nature is human nature, and if it may be that we're only keeping the lid on the little guys, but there needs to be this lid, and we'll try and get it on the big guys. Lee, I'm pretty sure you're going to take issue with that.
No, absolutely I take issue with that. I think that, you know, again, it just stifles business advancement. There are criminals. We will never fix that problem, as far as I can tell. So, you know, instead we're punishing all the honest people because there are a few bad apples. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
Okay. Well, we'll let that stand as it is. I have just a couple highlights here. Out of the 22 pages of show prep that I sent out, we have scratched the surface, but that is the way it always is and will be, much like some of the other things we say always will and will be. There is a individual during an interview with state-owned national television, Hu Bing, a researcher at the Institute of Finance and Banking, a Chinese government-supported research organization, said that the Chinese government's ban on initial coin offerings, ICOs, is only temporary. I won't go through all that. But again, same theme that we've been going through, if not the same meme we've been going through, that once the government gets their fingers on it, it'll be back. I want to go on to say that the Chinese disruption in the marketplace actually is a small ripple in the size of the total market. At one time, the Chinese market was 90%. This would have been around 2013. Was about 90% of the market. Now it's down to about 10% of the marketplace. So it takes much more than just that to have a long-term impact on the trajectory of the cryptocurrencies, perhaps reinforcing Gabe and Lee's thoughts that this is really sort of a blip in the radar on this. Now, moving into a different area that actually it's not different in that it is still talking about governmental centralization. A researcher at the Bank of England explored some of the design requirements for a central bank-issued digital currency earlier this week. So the Bank of England has been looking for years at issuing its own digital central currency, and I can assure you that if the Bank of England is doing it, probably state-controlled banks all around the world are doing this too. Again, something we'll have to take up in the future. And
the new Confederacy, right?
Yeah. And I guess the last thing I can get to before we do the roundup at the end is developers at some of the top tech companies. This is the pendulum swinging the other way, where these big tech companies are pushing away from the centralization of the currencies and the clearance of payments. Developers at some of the top tech companies have created a browser API. Lee, what does API stand for?
Application Interface.
Okay. Hey, I knew who to ask. Gabe knew that too, I'm sure. That could soon make it easier to buy goods and services online with cryptocurrency. The work started by the World Wide Web Consortium, W3C, which I'm sure Gabe and Lee knew about this. First time I've ever heard of this thing. But just the fact consortium sounds like a bunch of big fish and
it's just a lot
moguls.
A lot of illicit affairs.
They're conspiring to control the marketplace.
Yeah.
But anyway, the W3C, with the help of Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Apple, and Mozilla, is a tangible step toward a currency-agnostic web payment standard.
Ooh.
First conceived in 2013. What would be a currency-agnostic web payment system, Lee or Gabe, either one?
Gabe, you want to take this one?
it would be Bitcoin.
I think what it means is...
Well, but they're saying agnostic, so any currency. Sounds
right.
Like Abra to me.
Something that anything that is recognized, I guess, as a store of value, one way or another, would be...
That is not standard or conventional.
It's gotten more interested in the W3C has gotten more interested in blockchain technologies, hosting its first ever blockchain workshop in June last year. The API, that's the application interface, Augie, is being implemented by the browsers in Google's Chrome, Microsoft Edge, Apple's WebKit, Mozilla's Firefox, Samsung.
I mean, it's not Apple One.
Internet browser and Facebook's in-app browser. When activated, the payment request application interface will allow new payment types, including Bitcoin, Ether, and any other available cryptocurrency, as well as more traditional online payment methods, I guess MasterCard, Visa, to be stored directly in the browser. So that would actually give the consumer the kind of independence and freedom that Lee and Gabe
are proposing.
Promote.
Yeah.
Guys?
Yeah. My thoughts are on security. If you know, if private keys are stored in the browser, that would be bad.
Yeah, that's not
how they implement it will have to be a very robust and elegant design.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will find out more on October 23rd and also November 6th and 7th when the working group has their face-to-face meeting on 7th with a demo scheduled to take place on October 23rd to show how Airbnb, Google, and MasterCard will be using the application interface at that time. Something that you will hear about more should we all continue to not be blown away by a hurricane or
there's
financial
another,
or otherwise here on the Henry Rain Show. Gabe, let me give you a chance to wrap up here for the audience. What do you want to tell them about upcoming meetups or anything else on your mind?
Yeah, if you visit TampaBayBitcoin.com, you'll see all of our upcoming events. We do have a developer meetup happening tomorrow at the Block Spaces space in Tampa. If you visit the Ethereum meetup group, Ethereum Tampa Bay meetup group on Meetup, you'll see the event happening. It's from 1 to like 4 or 5.
Wow. All right. Lee, what would you any new Bike Federal ATMs out this week, or did the hurricane put a stopper on that?
Yep. Total damper on it, but we're hoping to expand, you know, as things get straightened out infrastructure-wise in South Florida.
And you can check for a location near you at bytefederal.com, B-Y-T-E, federal.com. And then also listen here every week, and we'll keep you up to date on those locations in the listening area and in the Internet listing area. Augie, what do you have for the audience?
I have hope and praying that we stop pretending that we had a hurricane, because you don't have a hurricane that disintegrates into a bunch of wind. But Sarasota County, Manatee County especially, have a history of avoiding all of that, except in 1921 when it went into Tampa Bay. But I'm hoping the people out there are getting to hear the show. I think you need to know what's happening. And then when the dogs are out biting and not being fed, somebody gets eaten. Be careful you're not out with the dogs in these situations, whether it's the hurricane or an economic disaster.
Well, mixed metaphors there coming from the contrarian. And Lee, Gabe, thank you so much for joining us. This show, as soon as I get electricity, will be up on the different podcast sites and available to listen on demand. Guys, thanks again. Look forward to talking to you hopefully next week.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Yep, take it easy.
Thank you.
Hi, Augie. Thanks, as always, for coming all the way up from your reinforced bunker in the hurricane-proof.
We were very fortunate.
Was your artwork saved?
What I did, my sculptures, I laid them on the side and took some of the loose parts and took them inside, and everything was fine. My artwork, my drawings are stored at a friend's house who still doesn't have electricity. But
So when you laid them on your side, their side, did any patrons come by and say, oh, I really get it now?
Oh, that happened before.
All right, so we will be back next Saturday with another Henry Rain show and much, much more, we can hope.
Okay, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness, what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurting and crying. When you practice what you preach, and what you turn the other cheek.